May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O God, our strength and our Redeemer.
Amen.
Amen. Don't worry, I'm only going to preach on every single lesson. 5 minutes. Today is the third Sunday in Advent, and it's traditionally known as Rejoice Sunday, Praise the Lord Sunday, or Pink Candle Sunday. But we don't use a pink candle here at Trinity, and that's one of the reasons why. I want us to focus more on the content of the theme of the day, joy, rejoice. On the lessons that proclaim, as in Zephaniah, rejoice and exult with all your heart. On the beautiful music that the choir and Alex Jones have gotten prepared for our lesson, our Advent lessons and carols, especially like This Will Be Your Dancing Day, where you feel like rejoicing in the Lord and in the joy that these songs and these reminders from the prophets give, the message that they give to us today. So we have This Will Be Your Dancing Day, we have Rejoice and Exult, and then we get to the gospel and we have John saying, "You brood of vipers!" Not very joyful, right? Not very joyful. I don't know if any of you have ever lived in the Northeast, but I spent a lot of my time in the last years of high school and in college in New Jersey. And in New Jersey, the stereotype, which is based a little bit in truth, right, is that people are very blunt, but with hearts of gold, right? Very, very blunt and direct in their communication. So when I read John the Baptist, I think, he's a Jersey boy, right? He's a Jersey boy. He's just very blunt, but he's got a heart of gold. A little more academically, the scholars at Luther Seminary, Caroline Lewis and Matt Skinner, said that this gospel, there are some choices of translation that maybe may better help us to understand it for our day. So when John the Baptist says, "Bear fruit worthy of repentance," maybe we change "worthy" or interpret "worthy" or translate the Greek word for "worthy" as "correspond," right? That is a choice in translation. Bear fruits that correspond with repentance, right? So repentance is not about self-flagellation, it's not about beating up on ourselves, but it's about a transformation in our lives, in our spirit, in our soul, in our actions, and how we relate to each other. It's a way in which we change, in which our actions or the fruit that we bear corresponds with us accepting the gift of repentance. Isn't that in large part what salvation is? Being freed from the things that have weighed us down, from our wrong action, into a life of right action, into a life in which we can rejoice because our actions correspond with God's will for us. But we see that John calls the soldiers to be fair in the gospel. John calls the tax collectors to be just in the gospel. And when we accept, and when we repent, and when we accept the beautiful gift of repentance, of forgiveness, When we truly do that, our actions will correspond with our salvation, with our forgiveness. In the gospel, there is a lot of fire and brimstone about the wheat and the chaff, right? And so these scholars invite us to think of that as well. We're not talking about people who are the chaff is out and the wheat is in. We're talking about those actions that weigh our lives down and affect the world and our communities in negative ways. When we talk each other down, when we rob or lie about each other, when we don't make that extra effort, that is the chaff that we need to get rid of in our lives, not people, but our actions and the actions of this world. Because when we accept forgiveness and when we truly repent, we will be people who nourish each other. We will be people who are free to act according to God's hope and love for us in grace and peace and constructively. So, don't read the gospel as us and them, the chaff and the wheat, but as a call to transformation. And for John the Baptist, the Jersey boy, you know, that confirmation, that call to repentance is a gift. We have a project that we are a ministry, part of our ministry, that we're about to make public. It's part of our Becoming Beloved community, and it was part of our racial reconciliation, and it came out of our conversation last April. And we're going to invite all of you to choose a contemporary saint that complements our stained glass windows, but will fill our narthex with saints who reflect the multiculturalism of our congregation and of our city. And so these icons will be a Native American trinity, the Saint Mahalia Jackson. They will be an icon of St. Harvey Milk, or the Black Christ, or the Holy Family, who are immigrants. These are contemporary icons, and I had a couple of sources, but I posted on a group that I'm in that's almost all of the women clergy of the Episcopal Church. I said, what other sources can I offer our congregation to fill the narthex with images of multicultural icons? And people were posting other links to other icon makers. And then one friend of mine wrote, I want you to consider, Hannah, in this great project that you all have come up with, posting or also including mirrors so that we can see in our reflection the face of the Christ within. That's the repentance that we are called to in Advent, to prepare ourselves to have our actions correspond with the gift that God has given us of forgiveness and salvation, to remember that our enemies are not each other or the other, but to shed the chaff in our life and to change our life so that we can nourish ourselves and each other, and that we can also see in our faces the reflection of the Christ we prepare for in this season. Amen.
Amen. Amen.